Second hour, next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier with you. I am live at T-Line in West Nashville for the 102.5 The Game 15th birthday bash. 1 hour away from T-Line opening up to the public. So make sure you come out here, celebrate with us. And again, if you come out, you have a chance to sign up for a chance to win two Nashville Predators season tickets. And we actually have some Pred single game tickets to give away later this hour. So excited for that. TD and Nick are back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. All right, it's time for you to talk to TD. Get your questions in, 615-737-1025. Anything you got for Teron, we will get to it over the next 30 minutes. Let's start with Chad here. TD, he wants to bounce an idea off you of the Titans possibly keeping seven wide receivers and only three tight ends, mentioning Restrepo is getting some earlier reps on offense and his work on special teams. Has me wondering how they feel about him this year versus last year.
Yeah, I think, look, they like Restrepo. I don't think he makes the roster. I think they do end up keeping four tight ends. And you got to remember, it's the special teams aspect. And I think when you look at the tight ends, linebackers, those are the body types that, you know, go into special teams. And everybody always thinks about the gunners and the returners, but you got those guys, you know, in the middle of it all, and that's typically the linebackers and tight ends. So I think Kyle Granson, David Martin Robinson, they have value from that perspective as well. And then you also look at how they use those guys as H-backs as well. So I think there's added value in having a tight end, a fourth tight end over a seventh receiver. I think the sixth receiver is Bryce Oliver, but you do have KJ Osborne and Xavier Restrepo, even Hank Beatty, you know, as guys that, you know, will be in the mix. And I think if they could pass those guys to the practice squad, you know, a couple of those guys will end up there and get the game day call up from time to time.
Yeah, and I think it was an easy decision. Maybe it still is easy to keep four tight ends. But when Jaron Kanick was healthy, right, he was the fourth tight end. You were going to keep four no matter what. I do think Kylan Granson probably does get that spot over a seventh wide receiver, but I guess it just kind of depends on where they view the most value in those two rooms. So we'll see on Sunday. Kind of going off of this that same vein, 9445 asks, TD, what do you think will be the biggest surprise on Sunday for cuts for the Titans, either somebody that stays or that gets cut?
Biggest surprise. Biggest surprise cut. That's a good one.
I feel like there's a, like, and again, it would be a surprise because we wouldn't expect it to be coming, but it does feel like a lot of there are a lot of locks on this team. There aren't a whole lot of spots that are up for grabs.
I would probably say it'd be either Diabate or Kalel Mullins.
Yeah. I know the Julius Chestnut hype is continuing with what Bones Fossil said about him this week, and you can kind of put two and two together. That's what we've been talking about this week. Of Robert Saleh at the beginning of camp was asked, what do you need to do to make the back end of the roster? Live in Bones Fossil's office. And then Bones Fossil comes out and says, Julius Chestnut may be the highest graded special teams player I've ever had. I think if you put two and two together, that makes it seem like there's a decent chance that Chestnut ends up being that fourth running back.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And that's what makes me think, you know, hey. But, and you know, Chad, he just does everything well. Like, he's a solid football player. I posted that during the game because I'm watching him, you know, I saw him run through a tackle. Then, you know, you see him on special teams, you're like, man, this dude is just good at everything that he does, you know.
Yeah, I think Chestnut, we always joke about Chestnut and Kinsey, like those are the guys you want to be around in a zombie apocalypse because they just stick around no matter what. Mm-hmm. Kinsey, I think his spot on the practice squad is not guaranteed this year, especially with some of the guys you just mentioned at wide receiver. Beatty has had a good camp. Of course, Restrepo has been getting earlier and earlier reps. KJ Osborne could be on the practice squad. So we'll see with Mason Kinsey. But Julius Chestnut, I do think if I had to guess right now, I think probably does get that final spot over Kalel Mullins. And Mullins injured right now. I guess there's a chance he could just start the season on IR. That way you don't have to actually cut him. And then you can push that decision down the road a little bit of whether he gets waived or whether you can maybe make that change later on in the season.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
All right, let's get back to the text line here. Richie from White House, this is a good question. TD, what are your thoughts on the NFL eliminating the Pro Bowl games? Do you think that this could set a precedent for other major sports leagues to eventually move away from their All-Star games as well? Or do you think the Pro Bowl is different because of the lack of player participation and interest?
Yeah, I think it doesn't surprise me, but I think it's unique to this situation. When you look at this, like, football is a sport that, like, you can't play that on an exhibition level. You know what I mean? You
right.
just can't, because it's so violent. You know, NBA, you know, you could do that. MLB, you could do that. Baseball, honestly, is my favorite All-Star game. We're keeping it 100, you know. But it's different. So I don't think it'll spill over into other sports. But, you know, this whole – thing that Shador Sanders ruined the Pro Bowl. Like, just stop, man.
This has been going on long before Shador Sanders.
Like, yeah.
Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler with three touchdown passes a few years
right.
ago.
Right. I for the life of me, I just would like to know what it is that Shador Sanders did to people for him to be, you know, a modern day Lucifer. Because it's just like, leave that man alone. Like, I don't know. It's frustrating. I'm not gonna say I feel bad for the dude, but I would hate to you know, everything I do is overly scrutinized and I'm blamed for stuff that I have no business being blamed. It's just wild to me.
Quick tangent about the Browns situation at quarterback. They named Deshaun Watson the starter despite the comments that he made after the preseason game on Saturday. What were your thoughts on Todd Monken's decision there?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly why he made that decision. I think it was pretty clear that Shador is the better quarterback right now. Deshaun Watson is nowhere near the guy that he used to be. But you know what? It sets up for Shador to come in and get an opportunity down the line if Watson should struggle. And I know that Shador is going to be ready, because that's just it's in his DNA. You know, you could say what you want about Deion Sanders, but one thing that is very clear is that every time there was an opportunity to rise to the occasion, he's done that. You know, so it's in his blood, and I think he'll be fine once he starts playing. You know, if he gets that opportunity.
Did you hear the conversation on the Thursday Night Football broadcast last night on Prime with Kirk Herbstreit and Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No, I didn't.
Ryan Fitzpatrick basically said, like, at some point Deshaun Watson is going to fail and Shador Sanders is going to get his opportunity. And Herbstreit goes, are you that confident he's going to fail? And Ryan Fitzpatrick goes, yes, it's going to happen at some point. Deshaun Watson is going to get benched.
Yeah.
So I do think that there is going to be an opportunity for Shador Sanders. And it makes sense, right? Like, why – this team is not winning a Super Bowl this year, right? The Browns are going to be one of the worst teams in football. You're going to have an opportunity likely to pick another quarterback next year. You might as well find out what you have in Shador Sanders and give him those reps to go prove whether he is or isn't the guy. Would it be more likely as a fifth-round pick who did struggle last year that he's not going to be the guy? Sure. But you already know what Deshaun Watson is. You know you're moving on from him after this season. With Shador Sanders, at least there's a little bit more potential that you could see. And the only way you're going to find out is if you actually let him play.
Yeah, no, I think – and that's the best way to evaluate a football player is to what? Let him play football. So,
yeah.
Obviously, you know, that's something that you would like to see happen. But, again, you have certain players who, you know, I don't care if they play outstanding football. There's always going to be questions and there's always going to be some type of way to explain it as not being all the way valid.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to this one on the text line. Not really. This wasn't – I don't know if this was directed at Talk to TD, but it is a question that I think a lot of people are asking. 9777 says, don't crucify me for this take, but if Cam doesn't look good or doesn't look like he's improved this season and the Titans have a top five pick in this quote-unquote loaded draft class this upcoming year, why not just pick another quarterback? Yeah, I'll let you take this one, TD, to start. I have my thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, you can't just keep hitting the reset button. You can't. And I understand in this day and age, you want stuff instantly. The gratification has to be immediately. I understand that, but it takes time. You know what I mean? And I know someone's going to mention, well, you know, they didn't give Levis time. Well, look, Levis wasn't a number one overall pick. You don't get the benefit of being a number one overall pick and getting more time. It takes guys, like, not everybody comes right in and does everything well right away. Give it some time. I would say not this year, but next year is really when you will know, okay, well, what is it that I have in Cam Ward? And that's going to be good or bad. So to me, you don't reset the clock after 2 years with a guy as a number one pick. And we know this roster still has to be, uplifted. At the same time, I'm not going to fake it. Cam Ward has to play better. He absolutely has to play better. What he's done to this point is not satisfactory at all. He has to play better. But at the same time, you got to give it an opportunity to develop.
I agree with everything you just said of, yes, Cam Ward has to play better. But it is early. He has played one football season in the NFL. He's going to have time to develop. I will say, though, if you are picking in the top five next year, barring an injury, that probably means Cam Ward didn't have a great second season. This is all dependent, of course, on is this class of quarterbacks actually loaded? Remember our conversations this week, last year, heading into the college football season of, man, there are tons and tons of quarterbacks who could end up being top five picks. Lenoris Sellers, Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Sam Leavitt, Drew Aller. We were having conversations of, this is a loaded class. Garrett Nussmeier. And did any of those guys end up being first-round picks? No. It was just Fernando Mendoza who was off the radar. So we can have the conversation again of, man, look at this class with Arch Manning and Dante Moore and CJ Carr and all these guys who could end up being early picks. But you just don't know until you actually have them go through the season.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes into that question. If Cam Ward is horrible this year and you're picking number one overall and there's a can't-miss guy, like, I don't think it's completely out of the question that the Titans do cut their losses and make another pick. We've seen it before with Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen just a year apart for the Cardinals.
Exactly.
But I would say it's definitely unlikely that the Titans end up picking a quarterback in the first round next year.
Yeah, and I think, you look at the Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen situation, it was totally different, right? You had a new coaching staff come in. You had Cliff Kingsbury, who had, a history with Kyler Murray, and it that was a different situation, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, I think it's just way too early to have those kinds of conversations, because not only would Cam have to be bad enough that you'd consider it, there also has to be somebody there that you feel is a worthy prospect to take and move off of Cam Ward. So we're a long way away from all that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It is your chance to talk to TD. Get all your questions in. We've got some more on the text line. You can call. We will get to your questions coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. San Jose State takes on USC this Saturday at 2 p.m. for our college football game of the week on 102.5 The Game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier with you on your Friday morning. It is your chance to talk to TD. Let's go to our phone lines. Matt has called in with a question on Cam Ward. Matt, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Happy Friday.
What's up? What's up? Happy Friday. TGIF, man.
Man, for real. Yeah, it's been a long week. Hey, I just got a question for you and Jake. I'm piggybacking off what I just heard about Cam. Man, just in your opinion, both of you's opinion, if Daboll cannot bring it out of Cam in the next, let's say this year, and I know they'll give him this year and next year, don't you think they got to move on? Because some of this stuff is not going to change. The sidearm throws, the footwork, the running out of the back of the pocket when the pocket's still there. I just think that's just who he is. So do you think that, let's just say they win four games this year or five, where is the, because I'm thinking about Kyler Murray, they moved on from him. The Vikings moved on from the guy who was out, they picked, they moved on from him.
J.J. McCarthy.
And, yeah, J.J. McCarthy. I'm just thinking out loud, like, how long do we really, I love Cam. I met him. He's a real nice kid. And I think he's got a lot of talent. If Daboll doesn't get it out of him, because I saw I saw Josh Allen his first year. They came to Nissan. He was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And after Daboll, I mean, he couldn't hit the side of the break. I watched this. I was in the stadium. I was like, this guy's terrible.
Yep.
But, you know, Daboll brought it out of him. And if he can't bring it out of Cam, like, you're just, in your opinion, TD and Jake, how long do we really give him? This year, next year, and it's a wrap. I mean, and I get off.
Well, I'll say this, Matt. You're correct about Josh Allen, but, you know, Josh Allen didn't get good until maybe a year and a half working with Brian Daboll. And I think, you know, you look at some of the metrics, like they were, I think, 31st in third down conversion, right? And then 2 years later, they were first. Red zone scoring percentage, they were 28th. And I think, that if I'm not mistaken, it's in one of the stories I posted. They were top five at the very least within 2 years. So I get what you're saying as far as Daboll being able to, if he can't bring it out, who can? But that Josh Allen project was over time. And what you saw was incremental improvement. Oh, okay, he became more accurate. Oh, okay, he became more efficient on third downs. Oh, okay, he became better in red zone. Oh, you know what? Now he's limiting the turnovers. And this was over like a 2 to 3 year stretch where the Josh Allen who, you know, had DeMonte Casey all over who was all over DeMonte Casey's highlight reel, you know, from that Wyoming San Diego State game, you know, in that conference championship where he threw two interceptions. It went from that to now, oh, wait, Josh Allen is a top quarterback in the league. It was time, you know. So I think what Matt said initially is if Ward doesn't do it this year and next year, is it time to move on? I will agree if he doesn't do it over the next 2 years, it's going to be time to look at other options. But here's the thing. The way the clock is right now, the roster is building, and you're building your roster around the young quarterback. So you're steadily improving the roster. If it doesn't work, you got to go out and get a veteran. I don't think you could afford to reset it. So you got to go out and get a veteran, a guy that could come in and play. And hope that it's a restoration type of project, you know, a la Sam Donald, a la Geno Smith, those types, a la go back in the day, Rich Gannon, you know, these types of, okay, well, you get a veteran in and you get him in the right situation. There's a roster that's built up. Now let's see what can happen. You know, I think that's the way you look at it.
Yeah, the Josh Allen comparison is always going to be there just because of the issues they both struggled with and the coach that is trying to fix them may not be the right word, but develop them. Josh Allen, it was year three where he took the big jump. From year two to year three, his completion percentage went up 11 points. His yards per attempt went up 1.2. He had 17 more touchdowns, and his QBR went up 27 points from year two to year three. So that's not to say that this year you can just see Cam Ward be bad and look the same as he did last year, and it's like, oh, he'll figure it out in year three. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there needs to be more patience than what we're seeing from a lot of people around the Titans fan base, and not just the Titans fan base, nationally. I mean, we're seeing a lot of people of like, oh, is Cam Ward a bust? Like, and you got to give him time. You got to give him time. Again, not to say he can't develop this year, but if he's not a top 15 quarterback in the league by the end of this year, I don't think that means you have to give up on him. There's going to be a lot of context that goes into that situation.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the context is really the key. And it just – a part of this is actually – Cam is somewhat a victim of the hype around him too. You know what I mean? Where there's been so much hype and so much, hey, you know, he's the savior, this, that, and the third. And that's not to say he won't be, but with that hype comes – a high degree of expectation and a thirst for instant gratification. And here we are.
Yeah. And I said it when the Titans drafted Cam Ward, I knew that it was going to, the fuse was going to be short because we had just seen two of the greatest rookie quarterback seasons of all time with CJ Stroud and Jaden Daniels. And I think that got into a lot of people's minds of, oh, they're going to show it year one and then they're going to just be great. I think we're seeing over the last year that just because you have a great rookie season doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a great quarterback. C.J. Stroud has taken a big step back. Jaden Daniels couldn't stay healthy last year. And you saw Caleb Williams and Drake May, who objectively had worse rookie seasons than those two, both took big steps forward in year two. everybody's story is different. Everybody's path is going to be different. You've got to just see what Cam Ward does this season.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the bottom line. You got to see what happens this season. Allow it to carry out. And, I mean, this season to give you a good indication of what direction. But even still, I firmly believe that after this year and next year is really where you have to give to establish a full opinion of him either way, right? Like, it's too early to call him the savior if he goes out and to me and passes, you know, has 35 touchdowns, 4,000 yards passing. It's still too early. I can't call him the savior. You know what I mean? Okay, you've done it. Now let's see what happens now that you're known as a weapon, and let's see you do it again, right? I think that's the key part of it.
Right. I don't think you're going to have an answer by the end of this year. Some people are going to think they have the answer after this year. Some people think they have the answer right now. But I think it's going to be that first year in the new stadium, 2027, that's where you're going to get a true answer. And that's not to say that if he does struggle this year, that they don't bring in you're not going to get an exact like Ryan Tannehill guy, but that's not to say you don't bring in somebody to compete with Cam Ward next year. Like that can be done if he struggles this year. But I would still, if you ask me today, I would feel very confident in saying Cam Ward is the starting quarterback for the Titans that first game in the new stadium next year.
Yeah, no, I would feel confident saying that too.
Let's go to 4312 on the text line here. He asked, so from what I'm hearing, the secondary is probably the biggest weakness that this team has. Do you think the front seven being fully healthy will help offset this by pressuring quarterbacks?
Look, the front end will always help the back end and vice versa. So I think, yes, it could help them. But, I mean, the bottom line is those guys, they have to communicate. They have to cover. And they have to do a better job than what they've done up to this point. You know, that's really the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's time to panic on the secondary quite yet, but all five of those guys, Marcus Harris, I haven't had any issues with, at least so far that I've seen. It seems like he's had a decent camp, but the other four, your highly priced cornerbacks you brought in, have both had their issues throughout camp and in preseason, and then Kevin Winston and Amani Hooker have both had some issues. So let's just see how it plays out, but obviously the early returns have not been great. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Appreciate everybody who chimed in on Talk to TD. If you have more questions, we'll get to them throughout the rest of the show, but we are going to move on. We're going to talk linebackers coming up in the next segment. But first, let's give something away. Again, we are at a T-Line for the 15th anniversary of 102.5 The Game, our 15th birthday bash. We're going to give away tickets every hour throughout the rest of the day, up until 6 o'clock. And right now, we're going to give away a four-pack of tickets in the lower level to see the Predators take on the Utah Mammoth at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, November 27th. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a four-pack of tickets in the lower level to see the Preds and the Mammoth on November 27th. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, TD, vibing back in the studio.
Absolutely.
It's a Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday. We got to get a little Prince in there, man.
Yeah, Frazier's done a nice job. We can mix it up on this Freaky Friday with TD in studio with us. Again, I am live at T-Line. We are broadcasting from T-Line West Nashville all day long to celebrate 102.5 The Game's 15th year of being on the air. Stop by. T-Line opens in less than 30 minutes. Come hang out with us, celebrate, and you can get signed up for a chance to win Nashville Predators season tickets. So lots of reasons to come out and hang out with us at T-Line today. Big thanks to everybody who joined in on Talk to TD. Good questions today. I wanted to ask you, TD, about the linebacker situation. I think Cedric Gray has shown a lot this year. I think he's in for a big year. The discussion this week has been around Cody Barton and Anthony Hill. I know we've talked about it before of Barton is the green dot guy. He's been the green dot guy. He's got experience in this system. Where Anthony Hill is a rookie. It's a lot to put on his plate to ask him to call the defense in his first year at the NFL level. But the playmaking ability is undeniable for Anthony Hill. And I just, when do you make that switch? When do you make the call that Anthony Hill is ready and you have to have a playmaker like that on the field?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time till it comes. I don't know exactly when you make that switch. I almost would consider, like, from the rip, making it happen, and you're just living with the mistakes and just letting him learn on the job. Frankly, you look, they started in base 4-3 against Seattle. Obviously, that's going to be conducive to the personnel groupings that they face, you know, from team to team. But, I mean, it showed you that there's no hesitation to use the linebackers. It's not that Cody Barton has played poorly, although, you know, he was one of the culprits, you know, in that I'm going to say from it appeared to me that he was one of the culprits.
That's what I thought, too, on the long touchdown run.
Yeah. So I think you look at that. But at the same time, you know, having that veteran leadership is a plus. But what's the trade-off? And I think the trade-off is Anthony Hill Jr. is a more athletic player. I think he's a more violent player. And it's just, okay, can you live with the mistakes that are going to come early? And if you could live with those, then go ahead and start them from the rip.
Yeah, I think that's just the discussion that they're having right now. Because Anthony Hill, whether it's the preseason game on Sunday or whether it's been practices, he just always seems to be around the football. Mm-hmm. The instincts are great from him. And he looks to be as advertised from what the Titans wanted him to be when they drafted him in the second round. Again, it's just the trade-off of, can you deal with some of those rookie mistakes, and you are putting a lot on his plate as a rookie to get that playmaking ability that you're probably not going to get with Cody Barton.
Yeah, and I think that's really the bottom line is the trade-off enough? Like the big play ability, is that enough of a trade-off for the inevitable mistakes that are going to come? And I mean, look, there'll be early mistakes. I think, you know, he seems like a guy that's going to learn from it and be able to avoid making the same mistake twice consistently. So that is a plus.
Right. I do think that Anthony Hill is a smart player. It's just, again, he's 21 years old. And if you're not only asking him to start as a rookie, if you do, you're asking him to be the green dot guy, to be the Mike on this team, which in a Robert Saleh defense, it is a lot on your plate. But I guess we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We're not in these meeting rooms. I think they'll know pretty quickly when the right time is to insert Anthony Hill into the lineup.
Yeah, they'll know. I think it's just a feel thing. And look, man, end of the day, this guy's a player, you know, he's a player, and it's something just in looking at the draft, it was like, okay, if they don't get Sonny Styles, this guy is the best match for the scheme. So it is what it is. He's a guy that I think can come in and make a difference. And look, here's the thing, Jake, he's calling the defense now. It's just not
right
with the starters.
Yeah,
you know
exactly
what I mean? So it's not like you're having him do something new. Like, he showed that he could do it and still play fast. And I think that was the main thing. And you look at how they went about, hey, look, man, you're only going to play purely Mike. That's it. That's your job. Understand it, learn it, and this way you could play early.
Right. I mean, I think it's one thing of, yeah, you could have him play the Will or the Sam and insert him into the game sooner without having that extra responsibility of having to call the defense. But does that prepare him for what you want him to be long term? Right. Like, this is not just a 1 year thing for Anthony Hill. They want him to be a perennial Pro Bowl type player at linebacker. And in order to do that, you want to put him in the situation that he's going to be in long term rather than moving him back and forth just to see how you can get him in the game early.
Yeah, that's really the bottom line. You want to be able to get him in the game and maximize. I mean, while you have him, you know, at this point, like you say, he's 21. Get him in there. Get him acclimated. Okay, have your growing pains early and then, you know, reap the benefits as the year goes on.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. Chris in California has called in wanting to get back to the Cam Ward discussion. Chris, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, fellas. Well, first and foremost, congratulations on the anniversary this year. You guys
are a
pillar of success in the radio set here. But when we talk about this Cam Ward stuff, and I understand that, like, fan is short for fanatic, and, you know, we don't always see it clear, and I understand the knee-jerk reactions, but look at what the Packers did. I mean, you know, historic franchise. They do business really well at the upper level. Look at what they did with Jordan Love predecessing good old number four, Brett Favre. You know, they didn't know if Brett Favre was going to be the guy. Brett Favre, or he was the guy. They he ended up kind of resurrecting his own career, and Jordan Love sat on the bench for 4 or 5 years and got a first-class education, and now he is who he is now. I just hope that our front office, as the Titans fans, has the discipline to be able to see through all the emotion and make some good calls. But in any case, fellas, really appreciate the show. Love your take on that. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Chris. I mean, that's been a conversation, TD, since Cam Ward got drafted, of should they have signed a veteran who could have started in front of him, like the Raiders look like they're doing with Fernando Mendoza. I've always seen both sides of the argument. Yes, you've seen a lot of good quarterbacks in the past sit and learn behind somebody. But also, Cam Ward played a ton in college, and you wondered if him getting those reps as a rookie was going to be more valuable than sitting behind somebody and learning from the bench.
Yeah, no, I think, it's a case-by-case thing, right? And, of course, like he mentioned, the Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love situation, and even before that, the Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre situation. Yep. That's not always the case, right? That's not always. And you could even look further, the Joe Montana and Steve Young. Like, it was like, man, you got to get Steve Young on the field. And you finally do. And, even with Steve Young, it took, a year or so before you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this guy really does have it. And that was after coming over from Tampa. So I think it's a case-by-case situation. I don't think anything's wrong with the way they've gone about, having Cam Ward play right away. I think, when you draft a guy number one, I think he probably should play right away. But again, it's a case-by-case thing. But I think in this case with Ward, you have a guy who has the mental makeup to where he's not going to be destroyed by whatever failure should come early. But it's just has to be an understanding. And he said it, right? Fan is short for fanatic. You can't be fanatical in that you expect instant gratification from the player. There has to be understanding. If he's going to play early, you're going to have your bumps and bruises, your learning process that is going to take some time. You have to understand that that's going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, as somebody who grew up a Titans fan, I understand why there is a want to have that instant gratification, to have this microwave where the team gets back to where it was, because the team had finally become a contender in the AFC for, what, 5 straight years? They were in the playoff conversation every year, made it to the AFC championship, and then things have just fallen off a cliff, and it's frustrating. I understand that. Back-to-back 3-14 seasons is not good, but that doesn't mean that you can rush the process of what this is going to look like and say, well, Cam Ward's not the guy. Move on. He needs to show it right now. I understand it's frustrating, and you don't want to hear that this team's probably a 6-win team again this year. But that's the process of becoming good again in the NFL. You've got to develop the roster, and you got to develop the quarterback.
Yeah, you have to. And I think they're hand in hand, right? Now, every once in a while, you have a quarterback that comes in as a rookie, and he just makes everybody better. But usually the case is developing the roster around the quarterback as you develop the quarterback. I think that's what this – and that's the thing you got to remember. Like, this roster is not – case in point, right? So yesterday I was doing an assignment, a 32 for 32, and the job was to, okay, find a milestone that is coming up for – this franchise, whether it's player or franchise, this season. I was struggling. You know what I mean? Like, I was really struggling. Like, well, you got nobody on the cusp of 1,000, 100 sacks. You got no one on the cusp of 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons. You like receiving, Tony Pollard, okay, he could have his fifth straight 1,000-yard rushing season. And that was like the closest to a player accolade that I could come up with. So I say all that to say, like, it's not like this roster is chock full of, guys who are like, hey, look, okay, 0 primetime games. What, a pro, 1 Pro Bowl, 2 Pro Bowlers. Like, it's not a roster that is built to win right now. And a part of that is developing the quarterback and developing that roster. So it is going to take time. That, to me, is going to slow down the process. I think you're not going to see the instant success, because, I mean, what does this man have to work with? And what does this roster have to work with? Because you got a quarterback that's still developing.
Right, and I think you got to have reasonable expectations for this team, but that also doesn't mean that you shouldn't expect them to look better this year, right? You've won 6 games in 2 years. You need to start seeing tangible results of growth on this team. So that's not to say that you can just settle for another bad season, but I think you also need to be realistic in where this team is in its rebuild right now. So we'll see what it looks like this year. Again, we're 16 days away from real football. I can't wait. It's been nice to have practice and preseason games to talk about, but it does get old really fast, and it's like, man, can we just get to the real stuff already?
Yeah, no, without a doubt. You're ready to see it. You know, let's see how it plays out, man.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, you can also chat with us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 1025 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. We'll wrap up hour number two with TD after this. We'll keep talking Titans. And then again, Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt, and Chase McCabe going to join us at the top of the hour. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, next man up. 1025 The Game. Those of you who come out here, TD. Wrapping up this second hour here, we're going to be joined by Andrew Allegretta and Chase McCabe coming up at 11 a.m. to talk some Vandy. But final preseason game tomorrow for the Titans, TD. And, you know, it's been lackluster performances for the starting group against San Francisco and Seattle. Feels like tomorrow is an opportunity to just take some momentum, take some confidence towards the regular season if they can have a nice performance.
Yeah, I mean, you would like to see a better performance, you know, but I think at the end of the day, that momentum and that confidence is going to be built through the preparation that they put in. We'll see how much the starters play. Me personally, I wouldn't – 98 would not play. I probably wouldn't play multiple guys, honestly, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier, and I think this needs – in my opinion, it should be the plan, that just let them get some confidence. If the defense goes out and makes a play and turns over Chicago early, pull them. If Cam Ward leads the offense down the field for a touchdown on the first drive, pull them. I think it's just it's good to have some good vibes, some good feelings heading towards the regular season, especially with what Robert Saleh said yesterday. He said that this has been one of the most grueling camps that he's ever been a part of, that they're trying to put a game and a quarter worth of work on these players every single practice that they're out there. So, yes, you want to see them out there, you want to see them play, but I also don't know if there's a whole lot of value to just keeping them out there just for the sake of keeping them out there if they go out and they get off to a good start.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at this – if they have a good drive, I probably would just go ahead and let them sit back. You still have some roster, back end roster things to work out. You want to give Will Levis an opportunity to, you know, entice someone who may end up trade. Like, you want to do. There's a lot of other things at stake besides, you know, playing your starters extensively in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the plan clearly for Robert Saleh has been to get these guys as many reps as possible. And he said the goal is 25 snaps. He said they're going to check on their bodies, see where they're at. But I think the expectation is you're going to see the starters out there similarly to the amount that you saw them in the first couple of games. Matthew in Nashville on the text line says, every time you guys talk about the Titans' current process and how people need to be patient, all I hear in my head is Barry Trotz telling us the Preds in 2023 that they might be bad and we need to be patient, and that was thrown out the window before after the 18-game point streak. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you got to be patient until you actually start seeing results. And it's like, I think the patience goes out the window if you start the season 7-3, right? Like, if you're out there, then you're in the playoff race and you're going all out from there. Again, it's just we don't have nearly enough information to know what this team is going to look like in 2020.
Right, it's such a work in progress and an incomplete. I think that's the only grade that you could give it, incomplete. And even if they do come out, you know, win the first four games, I still don't go making plans, you know what I mean, to be at the ESPN Super Bowl. You know, it is going to be on the network. But don't go making plans for that, right? I think you just got to you have to be patient on both sides, right? You don't rush to judging, hey, this is a Super Bowl team, and don't rush to judging, hey, this franchise is doomed. It just you got to wait it out.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think even if you beat the Jets in week one, don't start buying Super Bowl tickets quite yet. It's going to be a long season. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. We got one more hour on this Freaky Friday with TD. Coming up next, Andrew Allegretta, Chase McCabe going to join us to talk some Vanderbilt. We'll get more Titans talk later in the show as well. We are live at T-Line in West Nashville. Doors are about to open. Come out and see us. You can hang out. We'll be here for another hour. Chase and Big Joe from 12 to 3, DVD from 3 to 6. Ticket giveaways every hour, and you can sign up for a chance to win a pair of Predators season tickets. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, hour number 3 coming up on this Friday. Next man up, 1025 The Game.